In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One lesson we should take from this gospel is that suffering has a purpose. There's few things that get a parent's attention than their child being ill and in danger of death. And there's few other things that get our own attention than when we have a very serious illness and we're wondering whether we're going to live or not. These things get our attention. They cause us to seek God. In this gospel reading, we encounter two women. The women with an issue of blood, or as tradition tells us, Saint Veronica, and Jairus' daughter. The two women are linked in the gospel, and it's not just because they just both happen to be healed in the same story. It's not just random chance that these two stories go together. The daughter was 12 years old, and the woman with an issue of blood had suffered for 12 years. And so it's not just coincidence that these two things happen to line up this way. St. Ambrose tells us that Jairus, being the ruler of the synagogue, represents the law of Moses, and his daughter represents the children of Israel, which by this time was spiritually ill and needed Christ to come and to heal them. The woman with an issue of blood represents the Gentiles. What you have to understand about the woman with an issue of blood is, according to the law, a woman who was constantly bleeding would have been perpetually unclean. She wouldn't have been able to touch other people. She wouldn't have been able to function in normal society. She would have been, in many ways, an outcast. And another thing that you should know is the word that's usually translated as save in the New Testament in the Greek is also the same word that's usually translated as healing, depending on the context. And so to save and to heal are related, and so when the fathers interpret stories of miracles, they often interpret this in terms of spiritual healing and not just the physical healing. But the woman with an issue of blood represents the Gentiles who were spiritually ill and unclean, and they had spent all their natural gifts that God had given them on physicians that could not heal, which were the false religions that they had adopted. And instead of getting better, we're told, if you add all of the three Gospels that tell the story, you get a full picture. So in this Gospel story, it doesn't mention this, but I believe it's in the Gospel of Mark. It mentions that she spent all of this money all this time, and she not only didn't get better, but she actually got worse over time. When the Gentiles turned away from God and turned to paganism, God called the people of Israel and he imparted to them the truths of the Old Testament. And while Israel flourished in the faith, the Gentiles suffered. So that's why the 12 years are the same for both of these two women. But when Israel became spiritually ill, Christ came to heal Israel. But like the woman with an issue of blood, the Gentiles, hearing that Christ had come to heal Israel, reached out in faith and they too received salvation. She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." Why did she do it secretly? She did it secretly because, being unclean, it was contrary to the law for her to touch anyone else, lest they become unclean. But what we have to understand is that when she touched Christ, Christ didn't become unclean because of her. She was healed and made clean because of him. Christ doesn't receive illness. He doesn't receive our sins when he touches us. He cleanses us and he imparts to us his grace and his holiness and his mercy. And then we're told that Christ said, "Who touched me?" And everyone was denying all this. And finally, the apostles said to him, "You know, the whole crowd is thronging you. Why are you asking who touched me?" And Christ said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out from me." And virtue is the way the King James translates it. Power is what's being talked about there, not virtue in the sense that we usually think of the term in contemporary English. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Many in the crowd touched Christ the same day, the same occasion that this woman touched Christ. But only one person touched Christ with faith. Faith is what we need to receive God's grace, and that's what you heard about in the epistle reading. Grace is always available to us, but we can only access it if we choose to accept it in faith. If you go to the epistle reading that we heard, the first one, and you pick up right where it ends, we hear this about the Gentiles. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. So Christ brings peace and healing both to the Gentiles and to the Jews. But we have the rest of the story here. We have the young woman. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only. Have faith, he's saying, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into his house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. There are other miracles that Christ did out in the open. As a matter of fact, he raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead, and there was a whole crowd of people. The entire village was present to witness that miracle. But here, there are only a few witnesses. And what St. Ambrose says about this is because Christ indeed did come to heal the children of Israel, but most mocked him. As these people mocked Christ when he said she's not dead but only sleeps. And only some of them believed and received healing. That's why only a few of the people were allowed to witness this miracle. God can and still does heal the sick. And we hear about contemporary saints who work miracles all the time, and also people often get answers to their own prayers, and God heals them in his providence as he sees fit. But the greater miracle is the healing of the sickness of the soul. This is the illness that really matters eternally. And we and our sins are like the woman with an issue of blood, weak and unclean and cut off from all things that are holy. But we should not be afraid, even in our uncleanness, to reach out to Christ in faith, because we cannot make him unclean, but he will cleanse us of our sins if only we reach out with our weak faith to touch the hem of his garment. Amen.